Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Some I wrote, some other people wrote. Robert De Niro's here. Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Yo, shut up. You're kidding me, right? Slow down. I wrote some of these, and they're the ones you're laughing at.
Welcome back to another episode of Cropod, and of course, joining me, Shane, David Edgar. Hi, David.
Hi, Shane. How you doing? We are this might be called the illness episode. We're all slightly under the weather, or know people yes. who are under the weather, or it's kind of. I was going to say it's like an epidemic, but we'll just leave it the demic ones at the moment in case anyone gets excited again and we end up shutting down the world for years. So, yeah.
Well, unlike the defense secretary, at least none of us disappeared for a fucking week without telling anybody. You know, I don't think that's best practices. it's something I would do, but yeah. I am not the Secretary of Defense for the most powerful nation in the world.
So. Yeah, kind of an important, you know, like he's fairly needed.
Yeah, well, yeah. Questionable, but you know, he should be also fired immediately. Speaking of people we should fire for just fucking off for weeks at a time. Hi, Todd.
Hi. Hey, that's hurtful and unfair.
It's good to see that he's over it, though, isn't it? It's good to see that he's not bothering.
I have before we hop in and as the only healthy person here, I would just like to do. I would like to, and by the way, that's fucking sad when that happens.
Well, I mean, if we're taking into account mental illnesses, you're
sure.
still on.
Oh,
you're,
well,
you're,
okay.
you're in there with us.
No. Okay, yeah, I'm always in the mix then,
and the fact that you're Canadian.
True. Yeah. True. I can only apologize. Now,
perky little Canada.
Bags of milk apologize. For everyone.
Yes.
Boo.
Boo.
What was, milk what was for no one. Boo. Boo. Was it ordinary pilsners for some and bags of milk
for the
others?
That's right. That's right. Yes. Yes. Old-fashioned pilsners for others. Yay. Canadian flags wave. To our good dear listeners who invite us every week into their ears for 90 minutes, sometimes shorter if Shane has trapped himself inside the sofa bed. I would just like to say that we've done this a few times. I don't know what the exact numbers are. I'm going to say more than 8. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to say sometimes our jokes don't hit. They aren't great. And so I would just like to say that's our writing team. I apologize. I don't. We're going to fire them. I'm not going to look at them when I go into the clubs. There will be no eye contact. What a fucking stroke of genius. Why didn't I think of that? Because I have bombed hard. Why didn't I just think, it's my writers. Who's your writer?
Me?
I pointed out to you guys, I mean, Joe Coy. Wait, whoa.
You better explain for people in the UK, because the Golden Globes is not quite
That's what I was about to do. See how it was sagging there? Joe Coy, who hosted the Golden Globes, he took over Ricky Gervais's spot of making jokes and then having to explain why they're funny.
Correct.
but not only did he successfully, while hosting the Golden Globes there, not only did he successfully piss off every other comic in the world, which Todd, you might be able to clarify this for a little bit here, but seems like a bad idea. But he also pissed off the Swifties. So I think his career is just over.
Fuck with Taylor Swift fans.
No.
Not even on a local level. Not even if you happen to know someone who's a Taylor Swift fan.
I have one here in the house. Shane, to discuss her at all.
No, here's the thing, Shane.
There's a chance I might say something off, and then my wife.
Because you never know, right? You might actually say something like, what's that you're listening
to? You think it's nice.
I don't mind that one.
Here's Shane's problem right now. If you have one Tay-Tay fan in the house, there's 50 in the walls. So be careful.
But I wanted to, for those, because in Britain, we tend not to see it, right? Awards aren't that big over here, right? You still get...
I mean, outside of the Oscars.
And the BAFTAs. Yeah. You get the BAFTAs.
Yeah,
those
but
are good.
Nobody gives a flying fuck about the BAFTAs, right?
But people who win BAFTAs don't care that they won BAFTAs.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think people who... If I won a BAFTA, I'd be wearing that around my neck like Flava Flav. Are you kidding me?
But they're always so fucking... You know who's getting them? It's always the same people, and it's always...
I think it was... what's his name? The host, what I lied to you, said, you know, I'm a BAFTA-nominated actor, and Greg Davies retorted, we're all BAFTA-nominated.
I go back to my point that in Britain at any given point there are 36 working actors. That's the law, right? That's the maximum allowed under union rules. But so we tend to just get, in this day of social media, we tend to get, you know, the actual, someone will gather it all together. So the Ricky Gervais one, his last one, which was which is the only way you that's how you do it, right? You either are savage or you are genuinely funny. Joe Coy went for being mild and not at all funny, which was an interesting way. And then as he died, and my God, he died, right? I've not seen a comedian die that badly since Watchmen, right?
There hasn't been that great a death since every episode of House. Amazing.
He realized it, to be fair. He realized it, right? I mean, Helen Keller could have heard the pin drop in that particular fucking room, right? So he then, and there's a bit of me admired this, while drowning, didn't think I'll reach for a lifeline, thought I'll pull in everyone I've ever met with me, and proceeded to then blame all his friends and the writers, and then claim credit for the only funny lines, which I have to admit I couldn't make out what he meant by those.
Yeah.
So, do you remember the ones you laughed at? Which ones?
Nope. They're the ones you're laughing at. Which were they?
Oh man.
It's just astounding. Like I can only imagine, like, the comparisons I've heard is like, this is a rant of someone who was like an open mic, and it very much felt like that. Like a guy who just, when you see them kind of go up for the first time and the first joke doesn't hit and the second joke doesn't hit and this is their first time on stage, there's a couple ways you can deal with that. One, you just rattle through and hope for the best, and then if this is your first time, it's either going to make you want to do it again to correct what you've done and figure it out, or you just go scorched earth, that's it. This guy is an accomplished comic. He fills theaters. He had a sitcom, he wouldn't have got anywhere near that.
I mean, he's done sold out shows at the theater
So he does this, and by the way, this is a gig no one wants, right? No one wants to be a host of an award show. No one.
He only got it, 10 days out? I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that tells you exactly how revered this position is. The fact that no one was clamoring for it. So he's got 10 days. And admittedly, you're right. 10 days to write a whole raft of jokes. That's why you have a team of writers that help. And they would equip him. But here's the thing, to the credit of the writers, they don't know who they're writing for.
Yeah.
So that's going to change very much sort of how they steer jokes and that sort of thing. So if he comes in 10 days, he is going to be frantically, they're just going to be scribbling jokes, anything that is going to be remotely good. Joe Coy will look at them and go, that's not me. That's not me. I can make this one work. Let's change this. Like, he's just going to be doing that. So it's really just a huge fire hose of let's try it. And the rule in comedy is 90-10. Your comfort level in comedy is the fact that you have to be comfortable with the fact that 90% of what you write is absolute garbage. 10%. 10%. And that ratio, by the way, is industry standard. Like, right. Sidebar, Anthony Jeselnik, who's like one of the best one-liner comics at all. Someone asked him, is like, what is your hit rate from writing it onto the page to the stage? 40-50%? He's like, no, it's like 5. And yeah. He tells this story of like he was going to the Comedy Store and he thought of a joke on the way there. And every comic does this, is like you come up with this blazing, brilliant, like God touches your forehead with his flaming finger and bing, you go, oh my God, this is gold. And he goes up and he's armed with this thing that is, you know, wrapped in angel's wings, and he unsheathes it. And 4 words out of his mouth, he goes, I have made a horrible fucking And so everyone does that. Everyone sort of has this thing. And so because of the compressed timelines, normally a host would have upwards of at least 2 weeks, if not a month, lead in, possibly more. And like people who have done like roast battles and stuff, they will bring in their friends to help write material, and they'll be prepared for this. Joe Coy's opening monologue, you could see him kind of stumbling through it. Like he was trying to remember things. It was all fresh in his head. And then, yeah, he did that stupid thing, which is like, I can either own this or throw people under the bus. And by throwing people under the bus, he has first of all, no one wants to work with him now.
No.
Because if that's the way he's going to treat people who were trying to help him, forget that.
What? Fuck you up.
Yeah. Yes. Like that's a moment. Like the best meme I saw on it was, Will Smith, we need you. So like it's horrible. You know, I would hate being a writer standing at the back with my pad of note paper clutched to my chest with a pen in my hand, looking at this going, how can I punch this up? How can I punch this up? And then have him throw me under the bus. I'm like, well, where's the bar? I'm done. I am absolutely done with this.
Right, yeah, because I would assume, I mean, one of these gigs, you can react in real time and come back out and, you know, you're rearmed and like you can save it. Or can say the people that could possibly save me are all fucking idiots.
So a guy I know, he was on my previous podcast. I worked with him in Kingston. Jesse Joyce is a phenomenal writer. He is like one of these guys that they go to for roast battles. He has written, I believe, for the Oscars, certainly for the Emmys, certainly for the Golden Globes. He's like one of these guys that's just a joke cannon. And so they will over the course, you know, have to react to things, right? Like someone will say something in a speech or some moment will happen. And so they need to collaborate with like Jimmy Kimmel and go, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And then he goes out and he'll do these things that feel like he's in the room and he's part of the show, but there is actually a team supporting him. Yeah. And one of my favorite things Jesse Joyce does actually is that when the ceremony is done, whatever he's written for, like if it's the Oscars, he'll go onto Twitter and go, here are all the jokes I pitched that didn't make it. And he'll just he'll post them out in his threads. Like they're brilliant. So there is that team. And as soon if I was standing there and he shat on me and everything I was trying to do to help him, I'd be like, well, I hope you like the back of my head, because you're going to see it as I'm putting on my coat and going home. I am done. You also, figure this out.
Also, I think that you need to be aware of what the perception of you as a performer is. And what I mean by that is, like, Ricky Gervais can come out and do basically the roast, right? Because they all in the room like him. Right, mm-hmm. And they know
his. Oh, he's one of them.
Yeah, he's one of them. Yeah, and he knows. They know his.
Even though he tries to pretend like he's not. And,
yeah, but
you know, we'll go on Jordan Peterson for 3 hours.
And, Jesus Christ!
He can come out and he can deliver that because that's what he does. Right, that's his shtick. And it as a kind of similar example, I can do certain things like in our live shows. I can make a joke, right, mm-hmm. and it sort of plays into, you know, me being arrogant or whatever persona. Mm-hmm. And people will laugh at it. And then one of the other guys can do similar and it won't work. And they've said to me afterwards, why, you know, it was basically the exact same joke. And I'll say, yeah, because they like me. Right. So there's a I don't mean they don't like you, but there's a tolerance of this is the kind of, you know, there's a sort of fondness already there. If you go
in, and I'll put the super in superintendent.
Exactly. It's the same exact joke, right? You know, it's exactly that. It's you need to be aware of, right, what can I do? What can I get? But what I would say is that sometimes you also need to use a little bit of common sense. So, for example, if I was to go to the most achingly self-conscious, right-on, liberal, wishy-washy, self-regarding audience in the fucking world, which that room is, right?
Yeah.
Right? Then I don't think I'd crack a joke about Barbie having big boobs.
Yes.
Right, I think I would probably go, they're not going to... I will say to him, though, he has created the first great meme of 2024, which is Taylor Swift's ice cold death stare as she sips from her glass of champagne. And, you know, that without saying a word, merely through sipping champagne, and I admire this because, see, honest to fuck, see if Stalin could have moved his army as quickly as she moved hers with, with just a look. In that one look, she conveyed to 50 million Taylor Swift nutcase fans.
Yeah.
Right. See, honest to God, if Stalin had been able to do that, I would be speaking Russian today.
Right.
Right. Yeah. If that's how quickly he could have mobilized his troops, because within seconds of that, they had blown up the internet. There were people finding where he lived, where his future shows were.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with Taylor Swift.
Fans. As I told you, they will find where you buried your goldfish in third grade.
Yeah. Here's the thing, and he completely read that room wrong, because you're absolutely right. Ricky Gervais could come in. He is a peer among them. They know exactly what they're going to do. When Jimmy Kimmel does his hosting, it's always great because half of the people, three quarters of the people that are in that room have been on his show. Yeah. They've been talking about that. So they have a relationship. So they know what they're getting into. They can take a hit or a punch. Joe Coy is coming in as, which one's Joe Coy? Oh, he's that guy. And so if I was, and God forbid I would never do this. But if I ever, fuck it, it's a gig. Who books that? I would do it. I would be going in. You would see the biggest mealy mouth, cap in hand. Can I do this joke? You know, I would be so self-deprecating and maybe just a little wink and a nod to people. It's like, who's this schlub? It's like, know your place. I'm a nobody amongst, you know, the elite.
Yeah.
So like, you have to take that position. That's the position you have to take. You don't take a swing at the biggest grossing movie on the planet at the time.
Well, the biggest person on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You don't do that, because who the fuck are you?
This was the thing. Like, Joe Coy had been in my bar before. I didn't know until I was watching some of this shit. I was like, oh, it's that guy. Okay.
Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I mean, nobody is more up with pop culture than me, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Up until about 1993, I think.
Is it me who's out of touch? No.
No,
the children are wrong.
No, it's the children. Where did I put my status quo t-shirt?
Yeah, I am out of so I didn't know who he was, but that's fine.
David, you're in a big country in this regard.
Very much so, yes.
And Dream stay with you.
Dream stay with you, yeah. Which I have recently just done a big country B-sides playlist last night, in fact. So I collected all the 12-inch singles and put them into one playlist, right? So yes, I know who I am, right? And I know all the great comedians, Bill Hicks, Billy Connolly, Lenny Bruce, all the ones the kids are talking about, right? Sam Kinison, I know.
Bill Cosby's still got a good thing going.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's dentist bit. Holy cow.
Has anyone saw Eddie Murphy's follow-up to Raw? Delirious. Oh, it's great. It just came out. Right. Well, that's me, right? So I had never heard of this guy, and I assumed he'd be one of what I call the Netflix comedians, right?
Yep. Yeah. So
these guys, they all have the same teeth. They have the same suit.
Teeth.
They have the same teeth.
To the Brit. What are their teeth like?
Yeah, they all cut. Oh, by the way, that's interesting because I was watching a Family Guy that had an episode set in Britain the other day. Oh, I might talk to you about this. And yeah, everybody had the bad teeth.
Yeah, of course.
Which I don't know why that's kind of landed as a bit in American culture. And the reason that I wonder about this is I have been to America. And yes, your people called things like Braxton and Hoyt all do mm-hmm. have teeth that you can see from the moon.
Dakota.
Right, yes.
Yeah, Dakota, Chandler, Dakota, right. All of those guys all have the teeth. See the rest of the country. A country which has invented and mass produces meth.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. has the South in it. It's lecturing sure. other people about its oral hygiene.
Yes, but you do also have the Big Book of British Smiles.
Are you suggesting that Family Guy may have stolen something from The Simpsons? Wow. Or if you're going to go in and be a host like that, you have to genuinely not care. Like Seth MacFarlane did the Oscars, funnily enough, you know, just we'll talk about that. And he was widely considered to have not done very well, but he didn't give a fuck. And it came across that he doesn't give a fuck, that he was, he'd taken it the way you had, Todd, which is, fuck it, why not? You know,
right.
It'll be a laugh. I'll have fun, even if nobody else yeah. does. Mm-hmm. But if you care, and he clearly cared, then self-deprecating is exactly the tone he should have thought. He should have went on and was like, I know none of you know who the fuck I am.
Yes.
They couldn't get anyone better, so mm-hmm. let's just get through this. Right? And they would have been on his side a lot, you know what I mean? Straight yeah. away, you can connect a little bit of rapport. But like I say, he's one of these Netflix guys, and they turn up, and they all have the same set, right? There are variations on colour and stuff. And I've got a friend who will always say to me, you need to watch this. And rather annoyingly, he's not one of my friends who understands that that's not, I'm not right. going to do that.
Yeah. He did the opposite of what Bernie Mac did.
Yeah.
Right? Like if he came out and said, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers, then that would have been, first of all, he would have been beeped and that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
But that's the attitude he needed to come in with if he was yeah. going to do that, and he didn't.
No, you either have to tame the horse or you have to pretend you're scared from the horse, right? And then
right.
win it round. And in the end, he, as you say, it just fucking galloped off and left him in the field on his own, wondering what the fuck is happening. So it was funny, and I urge people to watch it just to but like I say, I bet you though he's got a contract from Netflix that's worth like $160 million for his four specials. And then Netflix always have the fucking goddamn audacity to go, we're losing money.
Right. Well, yeah.
You're paying a guy who 50 years ago would have been one on done on Johnny Carson, let's face right. it. Right. And you pay these guys and treat them like they're superstars. And then, you know, they actually get the break on point of contact with real people, and that's what happened to him.
Right.
It was just such an interesting expose, but I was really, you know, interested in getting your take on it, Todd, because I did, when I heard that line about, you know, it's my jokes you're laughing at, I didn't write them all, I thought,
He, like, honestly, he could have walked away from this if he took the hit. David Letterman fucking bombed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like when he hosts David fucking Letterman
yeah.
bombed on the Oscars. I mean, like it happens, right?
Seems
you have a bad room. Oh, no, like basically these things are a corporate gig, right? You're performing in front of people whose only connection is that they share the same job. And some of them might not even like stand up. The only reason they're there, it's like going to a golf tournament. Right. Because they're all as soon as you're performing at a golf tournament, you're in a banquet hall. Half the people are facing away from you because the tables are round. They've been golfing all day. They're drunk and full of beef. And then, you know, you're standing in between them and the raffle for the golf bag. So that's where you are standing. Joe Coy is the man in between them.
Why don't we
get
to the meat raffle?
Exactly. You're standing in between them and the meat raffle. They want the meat raffle. They want the shiny thing that's going to be coming out. They want to know if they won or not. And you are taking time away from that.
Although, yeah. I would say, Todd, that I can't think of anything better to describe a Hollywood Awards ceremony than the meat raffle.
The meat raffle. That's literally it. I love when that happens. I was doing a show. I gotta say, I love doing brewery shows.
What the fucking why?
Yeah, they're great. I never walk home paid. Let me tell you that.
Can't walk actually.
That's right.
I was an open tab. We didn't.
Right. Yes. It's like what? Well, we sent it to NASA. But there was a show I was rolling into a joke about a dollar store. I would say you call them pound shops, I guess, over there, right? Yeah. Which is a completely different meaning over here. And and this woman, as I was just about to roll into it, as I was just talking about the dollar store, she bursts into laughter at the setup. I'm like, do you work at a dollar store? She goes, no, I work at a bank. And I went, well, technically you work at a dollar store. And I was carried out on their shoulders. It was
the best example, by the way, of how to do this is Billy Connolly, of all people, did a BAFTAs 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And they were quite excited about it because obviously he doesn't do stuff like this ever, really. But at some point in the 90s, and he was very famous. You know, he wasn't in the same position as Joe Coy. He's obviously Billy Connolly, and they're happy to have him there, and the whole room knows who he is and is looking forward to it. And he walked on and he went, welcome to the BAFTA Awards ceremony. 15 minutes of entertainment spread across 3 hours of television. Right. And the audience burst out laughing and he went, shut the fuck up. No one is here to see you unless your name comes out of one of these fucking envelopes, okay? I am the fucking turn tonight. This is my moment. Sit down, shut the fuck up, have the good grace to look angry when you lose, and then fuck off without damaging the free bar. And that was like the intro, but only he could have. You couldn't have done that. It was because he was Billy Connolly, he could do that. And what is his future now? Because he will surely, I don't know if you can ever, given the way it went, he will always be just known as, because most people's first impression of him is that dick that bombed at the Golden Globes.
I have a theory here, Todd. Let me see if you know if this jives. Because of the crowd that he was in, he has a very obvious career route. And I think he kind of tapped into this crowd anyway. But of course, the easiest one for him would be the woke cancellation bullshit.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Just go on a few of those. Go on Joe Rogan or some.
He can open for Louis C.K.
I don't even know if Rogan would have him at this
point. He will be performing in red states across the nation. So,
He'll be at
Cooter's Chuckle Hut in Louisiana, and it'll be great. I will say this, a quick tip of the hat. This is the best, I would say, the best moment that I saw out of the, I didn't watch the thing, but I just saw some clips. Tip of the hat to Jennifer Lawrence, who did the exact thing that every actor should do when they snap the camera on the nomination, and the nominees are, and they snap to her, and she just looked in the camera and mouthed, if I don't win, I'm leaving. And then she had a moment. She was like, yeah. And then she hikes her thumb. I'm leaving. And then they snapped at the next person. I was like, perfect.
The greatest is still the perfectly correct reaction from Liam Neeson in 1994 at the Oscars when he's nominated for Schindler's List, this tour de force, this important, moving, will live forever in the history of cinema. Mm-hmm. Epic, right? That told this horrible yet uplifting yet tragic story, and he loses to Tom Hanks for fucking Forrest Gump.
He
was not in the mood for their bullshit. He just got up and fucked off, and the whole world, agreed with him because. Because that is how you handle it. And it's like, you know, you could handle losing to certain people for certain reasons, but that one was just fucking terrible. But as they sent it up in Tropic Thunder, Tom Hanks had stayed on the right line when you're playing a mentally handicapped person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have a question for the listeners here. You know, as we alluded to at the top of the show, I'm ill still. David has become ill. Todd, healthy fucker.
Only physically.
Anyway, so with the COVID thing, right? Because the vomiting is manifested into just fever and not feeling well for a number, the headache and everything. Mm-hmm. So round five for me.
The bubos, the stinking breath, the skin falling off, the leprosy, all of these things.
Is this COVID number five?
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit of vomiting in the John, a little bit of coughing all night long.
God. I want to, because I haven't done the, I haven't lost my sense of taste or smell at all in any of these yet. Thank God, because that would be, I mean, I've lost some motor function in my right hand, but I think I'm happier with that than not being able to taste food, because that would drive me fucking crazy. But the thing that was finally the tip off to me, and I hadn't noticed it, but when it keeps recurring as mine has, you pick up on these trends. I didn't think it was until after I quit throwing up. And I had this taste in my mouth that wasn't vomit, but just this weird. And then I started thinking, I was like, well, wait, the time, I tried to blow up my heart, I had this same thing. And I think the last one, which was a really mild case. And I was like, have you guys had this when you guys got it, or any of the listeners? Because I think, instead of losing my sense of taste, I just develop a really, really bad metallic-y, disgusting taste for about a week and a half.
Were you smoking weed?
Yes.
Because sometimes I get copper tongue when I'm smoking weed.
But I got that as well. And funnily enough, my wife has been pretty much ill all throughout December and Christmas, and it was COVID.
Me too. Hi, Sally.
Then it went away. You two are spirit animals. Don't get me wrong. And eventually,
I'm your soulmate, Homer.
Yeah, I said to her, you need to go to the doctor. And she's like, right. So it got really bad. So last Thursday night, we recorded that day, and it got really bad last Thursday night. And she did that thing that people do when they're really ill, and she's like, I feel so hot. And I thought, my reaction, of course, was like, what the fuck do you want me to do about it? Shut the fuck up, mate. I can't do that. Because I am well trained now, I just gave her a hug and I said, you need to go to the doctor, darling. I think you've got bronchitis. And she does. She's got bronchitis.
Yeah.
Right. So, she went, and they gave her steroids and the inhaler thing and everything, and she is starting to perk up a little bit. But it really, really confirmed to me, and I sat her down and I said, honey, we're both getting a bit older. My wife's 11 years older than me, so she's 57 now. And I said, we're going to probably get ill as we get older. And she went, yeah, I know. And I said, I want you to know that in terms of looking after you, this has really made up my mind. You can either go into a care home or Dignitas. That's the choice. I will not be here when this happens. If you lose function and whatnot, you will not. I will not be one of these people who you read about in the newspaper that said, and her husband loyally and took care of her throughout.
David, you can barely say I'm wiping your own arse.
I said to her, I will pay for the best fucking goddamn care house unless you lose your marbles, and then you won't know the difference, in which case you're basically going into Arkham Asylum, right? Because no point. That's just spending good money after bad. Well, it is, isn't it? Right? I mean, if she doesn't know the fucking wars by, then there's no much point. But all joking aside, when your partner is ill, and it is, but see that thing that they, make me feel better. Who the fuck do you think I am, right? I don't have the king's touch. I can't remove scrofula by touching you on the forehead and saying my child. It doesn't work like that. So then she was doing that other thing that ill people do, which is, of course, every fucking 5 minutes, Dav, can you just get me up? Dav, are you up on your feet? No, I'm clearly not up on my feet. I've just fucking sat down after the last thing you wanted. And that went on for about 3 days. And yet I didn't smother her with a pillow.
Nice. Hey. Gorgeous. You know, David, I've always said your compassion is possibly the most underrated virtue.
I am the compassionatestest.
You know, the word hero is thrown around a lot these days.
You know, and instead, I said to her, so funnily enough, actually, she said to me this morning, oh, I'm feeling a lot better. I said, no need to thank me. She went, what? I said, I told you to go to the doctor.
Right.
Right. I caused the solution to this problem by telling you what to do.
To go to the doctor. It's much like the Doug last week. Yeah, the Doug needs to go to the vet.
That's it. Doug and she said to me, she said,
I solutioned the problem.
Yeah. She said, yeah, but you didn't get up because you need, because our medical system is falling apart, you need to get up in the morning and phone at 8:30 bang on to get an appointment if you need an emergency appointment. Because of course, when else do you need an appointment with the doctors? There's other people phone up and say, I'm planning to be ill mid-February.
Right, yeah.
Do you have anything, you know?
Can I get a booking in?
Yeah.
So she said personally, to me,
problem. You know, I should probably just advance book and then cancel within, you know, 48 hours.
Yeah.
That would probably be smarter for me.
To her credit, and I totally feel sorry for Sal because I have had bronchitis as well. And when you get it,
I dealt with it every year for
like honestly, it's like every time you get a cold,
it's horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
It starts with a cold, and then when the bronchitis starts to happen, it's like, hey guys, follow me. I know a shortcut. And then that's you every
You want to see him cough up blood? Check this out.
Yeah. Hold my beer.
It's such a fucking horrible thing. And I've been calling her Doc Holliday, you know, Tombstone, Val Kilmer.
Oh yeah.
With a consumption.
You've got
consumption. And the other problem that I have, and I mentioned.
I'm sorry, just quick. I want to advocate for bringing back disease names like that.
Once again,
describe diseases like that. Don't call it tuberculosis like my dad is in hospital right now with bacterial pneumonia. No, consumption. Just call it some weird old westerny kind of
proper
group.
Absolutely. exactly. Croup.
Thrush is a perfect, you know. Yeah. Like you guys. What? Okay.
Oh, no. He's got whistle foot. What the fuck?
If you advance thrush, you could call it sparrow. if it develops, yeah. But she.
I like how we're all putting our CVs to host next year's Golden Globes.
Well,
I believe there's a vacancy.
Pitch. Yeah. And here's my pitch. Edgar, 2025, I couldn't do any fucking worse.
Right. Right,
and they couldn't argue with that, could they? But the thing about a lot of these respiratory diseases that are kicking about is they are absolutely arsey because you can't help spread them. That's the worst part of it.
You need to breathe.
Yeah. There's no, you know, and it is kind of quite difficult to sort of avoid it, especially, you know, commuter trains and, you know, Shane, I know, would you regard the death tube an aeroplane as?
Yes, aeroplane.
A germ tube. And it's just, what the fuck can you do? Although I do love that Sally thinks she is a part qualified doctor because she's seen every episode of House.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. She genuinely, she's one of those people that actually owns, you know, like the medical, you know, like the big book of diseases and all that kind of shit, right? My mad Uncle Jim, I've not had a mad Uncle Jim story in a while. He bought one of those in the 90s. And he like Shane, liked hot herbal Jamaican cigarettes, right? And
how dare you, sir? I smoke mine out of a pipe.
Oh,
thank
sorry.
You very much.
Yeah.
What? Does no one use bottles anymore?
Yeah. I've just got the impression of Shane sitting there instead. He's got like one of those Jamaican flag, but instead of a hat, it's a deerstalker.
Our drug tip for the kids this week: an apple works perfectly well in a pinch.
Yeah,
so you got to figure out the schematics on it now. Right. But just so you know, an apple works great,
and it tastes very
it's fall wonderful. Flavored.
It's fall flavor forward.
I like it. Much nicer. Yeah. You're in flavor country. And then you're on the then if you do it right, you're on the moon. But so my Uncle James bought one of these books, and he came in to see us one night because he only lived like two doors down. He came. And he said, "Yeah, I've not been well lately." And I said, "What do you think it is?" And he showed me in this book. I said, you don't have this. And he's like, but that's all the symptoms. I was like, James, this is menstrual cramps. And he's like, I know, but look, I get that. You don't have a womb, right? It's physically impossible.
Those small hang-ups, David.
Exactly. Yeah. But he was utterly convinced that, fuck, right? And I was like, no, there's... And he's like, all right, right. Is there any part of my body that can... I went, no part of your body can produce that. Right, if it did, it would have to come out your arse, and you would be aware of it. It's not
quite, I think, how that works, but okay, yeah.
See, have you ever seen the film Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Right,
yeah.
One of his ill-fated comedies in the early
90s.
And it's about a man who, the whole premise of the movie is basically he's a doctor or scientist, and he gives birth. And there's not really a lot to it.
I took a date
to see that movie.
This was all part of his, hey, let's pair up with Danny DeVito phase.
Let's make twins. Let's make twins over and over.
And I took a girl to the movies to see this, and there isn't anything to the film. So you basically spend the last half hour of the movie desperately bored and thinking the only thing that can redeem this is if the baby comes out of his arse.
Right,
and it doesn't. It's a cesarean, right? Yeah. And that I was like, that is 90 minutes of my life completely and utterly ruined by it. Right. But
that's kind of like watching Rangers. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it all comes back. Speaking of, by the way, I was just taking a quick look at Junior, the cast of it. Speaking of BAFTAs, Emma fucking Thompson's in it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. She's in it. Ada Turturro, who you would know as Janice from The Sopranos.
Yep.
Welker White, who was the house sitter that got nabbed in Goodfellas.
Yep.
And, and Chris Maloney.
Huh.
Jesus.
No, I mean,
sometimes you look at the cast on one of those movies, you're like, what the f-?
And look at the time of year, like you look at the year it was made and you go, this is drugs.
Okay. A lot of British actors, basically, it was Alan Rickman, right?
Yeah,
Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman went to America, did Die Hard, was absolutely fantastic. And they went, oh, right, these British actors, one, they can act, and two, they are a shitload cheaper than... Yeah. So they started getting, and Emma Thompson went, and they all come back, all these serious British actors, and they say, oh, the film's fucking terrible. Do you know how much money they gave me for it? Like, actually surprised at how much money.
Well, it's because our film studios aren't owned by the state, so they actually got money.
But you know, they go and they do one or two movies. Actually, at the weekend, I watched an Alan Rickman classic, and it led to a bit of a fight in our group chat. I watched Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, you know, the Kevin Costner one.
Okay,
It's fucking fantastic. You know why? Because it's a good old-fashioned, proper, just like a story with good guys and bad guys, and the good guy doesn't have to spend hours, you know, like, as a tortured soul, right? And there's no moral struggle or any of that shite within it. Right?
It's what I call the Revenant problem.
Yeah, yeah. Or like latest Batman movies, you know what I mean? Oh, fucking just go and kill someone, right?
Oh, his parents died? That's what happened?
That's right.
Oh, I see.
For explaining that again.
Oh,
the worst element of it is Man of Steel, right? The Superman one where he's all conflicted. He's not, he's Superman, right? He's just good. That's the whole point, right?
Oh, God, it drives me fucking crazy. Okay, this is the biggest thing with DC movies, and I get, you know, how the cotton blue, I don't give a shit. He's fucking Superman. Yep. That's the point of him.
Yes.
He is perfect, and you can't kill him, except for Kryptonite. He's a good person. Yep. He has no, there's no bad.
He would pick up the chain.
The name is a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah. He would absolutely pick up the check. If you want dark, you do Batman, right? So, but this was none of that. It's just a good, you know, a good story. It's a good rom, and you know, everything. And I like that movies have kind of stopped doing this because they're all desperate for twists. See, in the old days, good storytelling was, you would say, right, here is this situation. Here are who you should root for and who you root against. Here is a pathway of how we're going to get there. And then you give the audience it, right? Yeah. It's like if you order a pizza and they turned up and they gave you a newspaper and went, surprise, you would be surprised, but you would be fucked off. It would
Or if they spent the half hour before handing you the pizza explaining how their parents died and turned them into this very sad.
Let me give you the backstory of how this pepperoni came to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now,
right.
It starts in Italy.
Or as you say, if they took you right through the process and they said, right, well, this is what, and then at the end, we're, though, look, here's a fish. You'd be like, no, this is, so it's not, you don't need to do that, just deliver in the way that you want. But it had Alan Rickman in it, and I'm sure you've both seen this movie. He is fantastic.
Yeah. Not bad in anything.
Oh, just overplaying the absolute hell out of it.
He's having so much fun. The role, it is absolutely wonderful, right? And it works really well, a good bit of casting, because you've got Kevin Costner, who plays it very, very straight.
Does his Kevin Costner thing.
He does his Kevin, which is great, because, you know, Todd.
That's why you cast him.
A straight man what you're shouldn't getting. Be funny. That's not his role. The straight man...
But this is... Silverado is the only time you're ever going to see him not be Kevin Costner. And guess what?
Yeah,
pretty much axed him out of the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, Alan Rickman has got Kevin Costner as the bait of the movie, and that lets Alan Rickman go off and have fun, which he is a good enough actor to do, and it's brilliant. So then, you know, we were talking about it on Saturday at the group chat, and Colin immediately went, "Oh yeah, Alan Rickman, Snape," and I, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh god!
And he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "you're going to get annoyed, aren't you? Because like this happened when he died. All the dads were upset that he was remembered as Snape rather than."
I wasn't upset because of that. I was upset because he died.
And I said, look, Colin, no offense, right? But saying Alan Rickman is best known, or his best work was the Harry Potter movies.
Right.
Is a bit like saying, Paul McCartney, well, he had that early band, but he didn't kick on until Wings.
Right.
Fucking right. The
Beatles could have been.
Yeah, that's true. But you need to look at, you know, Die Hard. It's just that you think Alan Rickman, you think fucking Die Hard. You think. It's just, it's not right. And he's like, oh, well, no, you can't do the whole.
Don't give me Love Actually and all this shit. I don't want to hear about it.
He is actually quite good in that, but I am happy that one of David's favorite movies is a wonderful Christian Slater project. You anchor him and the rest of the cast just falls into place.
I have to admit, and it's the era I grew up in. I was 14, 15. I fucking love Christian Slater.
Oh, he's Heathers. Brilliant. Heathers was the best Jack Nicholson impression I have ever seen, ever. Yeah. I mean, everyone thinks Kevin Pollak does a great Jack Nicholson. No. It's Christian Slater.
Yep.
I've been in 18 different schools in 17 different states, and the only thing that's changed is my locker combination.
Like, have you seen another one I did from back then, Cuffs? It's worth checking out. For my age, it was Winona Ryder, Christian Slater, but I don't know why, considering that they let, and I think this is always a sensible thing to do, they let Kevin just do the American accent. It's acting, it's a story, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to have an English accent, especially if you can't do one, because that's all people talk about. Have you seen
Chipotle? Well, it was like Tom Cruise and Valkyrie when for some reason all the Germans have English accents, but then he's just
but
American,
have you seen,
all German.
Well,
holy
seen,
shit.
Have you seen Chernobyl? They actually said, the casting director said, no, right at the start, we went, oh, fuck it. If we make them all do accents, it's all anyone will hear. They won't pay any to. So they'll all just, you know, they're all English. They'll do English. Death of Stalin has English.
Just
do it. Right. So I'm fine with that. But
try to force Steve Buscemi into a...
Everybody just speaks in their own accent, right? Yes. And it's brilliant for that. But Kevin Costner's doing the American accent, and it's fine. It doesn't detract from the movie in the fucking...
He is the American accent.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, exactly. But they made Christian Slater do one, and it's like a sort of walking tour of 1920s England. Right. No one has spoken in that way since. And there's a bit of London. There's some archaic Manchester in
some
there.
Some Brummy in there.
Brummy. He's gone. And it was like, guys, just fucking let the guy speak. It's fucking Christian Slater. We know who he is. Right. We know where he's from. Just let him do that. Concentrate on the film.
Forgive me. The reason I went, holy shit. Just back there, I popped open IMDb and took a look at Cuffs, and sure enough, Christian Slater's in it. Mila Jovovich is in it. The next guy down in the listing was a guy named Rick Roman Waugh, known as in for this movie was RICWAUGH, which is a friend of mine in Toronto who is an actor, and I went, "What the fuck?" And so. No. But then I go look and I go, well, that's not Rick Waugh. Like, what is that? RICWAUGH. This is Rick Roman Waugh. He had to do that because my buddy Rick Waugh was already in the guild. Ah. So he is, yeah. So this guy, Rick Roman Waugh, is a writer and director. What are the fucking chances that RICWAUGH was taken?
Yeah.
What?
It's not like Keaton having to switch because of Michael Douglas. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah.
I've been, just before we came on air, actually, I've been listening to one of my favorite artists, but it's also, I think, the greatest name. It's also why he will never, ever, ever make it big as a solo artist. He's in the band Guided by Voices, who are, you know, in my world, a big cult act, right?
Sure.
You know, they're big, great. But they're not mainstream, but they're great, yeah. But the side guy in it, and he does loads of side projects, is called Tobin Sprout. And that Jesus. Is his real name.
Now, is his brother Prefab?
You are never, ever going to, you know, sell out Carnegie Hall if your name is Tobin Sprout.
It's
just not going to happen. But I guarantee you, if he ever takes up acting, he's good to go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's squaring. All right. You know, we got some extra time in the first half, which is not allowed by Crowpod rules. So I'm going to have to go back and just trim 3 minutes here somewhere. So that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, we're grab the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to part two of the Crowpod. As always, please go check out our friends, the famous headwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. Get all your shit now, because once the winter break's over, you'll be ready to go. See?
Yeah.
And it's still going to be cold, so you still need all that stuff from Graham and them. And you always want stuff on your walls that looks good. So
I could use a scarf.
See? There you go. I know, yeah.
I could still use a scarf for a few other people. I don't fucking have it yet, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm aware. Please stop.
Who do I complain to?
Not me.
Right. So, where's my fucking scarf, Shane?
Hopefully this, I'm finally getting everything together. God,
I paid for that fucker.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. I suck.
Where's my money, bitch? Where's my money?
Where's my money?
Eric, I forgot last week. You know, if you're feeling sore, if the winner's taking it out of you like it is,
it is.
Yeah, and it definitely is. Head on over to see our friend Mark there, Recovery and Repair East Kilbride. He'll he'll straighten you out and make you feel all good. You know, good enough to play in goals for Rangers until age 40. Right?
Oh, can I tell my story?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're done there.
No. I flushed. I'll need to have a seat. You'll know why when I tell you the story, folks. So, last week, the reason we were recording on the Thursday is, of course,
New
Year, and we were playing on January the 2nd, and Heart and Hand were one of...
You told this story last week.
Did I? Fuck.
Yeah.
Bastard.
That wasn't even did I fuck. That was did I?
I am hard. I am absolutely.
Punctuation matters the most.
Yes. Yeah. No. Well, that's the whole second half of the show there.
Okay. What's in the news?
Hang on a minute. I'll just get my phone. Hold on.
Oh no!
Hold on. Hi, Joe. Yeah, it's happened to me as well, mate. Yeah, I died. Yeah. Tell the same story again. What, yeah.
Blame the writers? Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's...
Fucking Crowpod writers, right? All the funny stuff I've said here today was me. All the funny stuff I've said was me. Right. Well, what? Right. I mean, come on. Tell me, Crowpod was not bad.
That's I was going to try to shoehorn these in before, because I think the best policy, and I'm starting to like it here, is to shoehorn Ranger stuff in right before the halftime break, because then we just have to stop.
Exactly.
But now, you know, we went long, and now, you know, the game plan's out the window. But I had two headlines in context that came up this morning. I was only kidding
when I said what's in the news, because thankfully
I'd written these. Now we can do the funny one first, just to maintain.
It's always good to go out on a downer. Yeah, let's do that.
Trust me. Look, I've already got the last 30 minutes of the show fucking booked. We're good.
Okay.
Don't worry.
All right.
Oh, yeah, all right. Magic.
But the first one I saw from De Telegraaf with a F, because it's Dutch. I love when they don't translate quite right for just basic stories, because it was FC Utrecht beat on Sam Lammers, and all I could think was, get in line behind me and my board with a fucking nail in it. please take him, please. Mm-hmm. Anybody, if you're listening,
Henny Youngman, take my Lammers, please.
God. See, I it's going to be like, if he goes there and bangs in 10 goals, and then we're going to have to go through the, oh, he's like a free signing in the summer bullshit. No. Please be gone. Just be gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
That's the funny one, is it?
I feel a little bad if we give Sam Lammers.
Sam Lammers to someone else? Yeah, it's kind of like giving...
Not to someone else, but to Utrecht. Utrecht gave us Michael Moles, and we're giving them Sam Lammers. Yeah. That seems a little ungrateful.
That is when someone shows up on Christmas Day at your house with a gift, and you're scrambling upstairs to try and find something that looks like you haven't used it.
Yeah, re-gift. Like... Yeah. That's exactly...
Here's this autobiography. Here you go.
Yeah, look.
Spine's not even cracked.
There are guys from Utrecht who, because of the Michael Mole things, there's a Utrecht RSC of Dutch people, and they formed 25 years ago, and they come over, you know, still to this day, they come over a couple of times a season. Firstly, they know, and they may tell other Utrecht fans. And secondly, I would feel awful the next time we saw them just going, sorry,
I shat in your tuba.
Sorry about that. It kind of reminds me of a fantastic Billy Connolly joke. He's popped up twice. He was on an American chat show, and one of them, I think it might have been Letterman, actually, it'd be about the timeline, and Letterman was doing a riff on, you know, like, haggis and stuff, and Billy Connolly took it in good grace, and he says, he goes, yeah, but you know, you think we haven't given you anything good. They said, you know, you sent us Elvis Presley, and we loved him. You sent us Frank Sinatra, and we loved him. He said, even, you know, these days, you send us these wonderful artists like Bruce Springsteen, it was mid-80s, says, and we love them. We sent you John Lennon, and you shot him.
Look, I'm not advocating for the same response to the Dutch if he ends up there, but
I wish the guy were the best. He must be better than
but yes, I don't, look, no ill will, I just don't want to ever see him in a fucking Rangers shirt.
I don't think he should be playing for Rangers, but he must be better than he's showing. And look, it can happen. You come to a club, you lose confidence, and you know, we are not exactly renowned for helping players who
our patience is not
renowned. Yeah. So if he goes to Utrecht and tears it up, I'll be really happy for the guy.
I would be very happy too, because then hopefully we can sell him. It would be great.
Here's the thing we also have to remember, a couple things. One thing we have to remember is that there are going to be leagues that certain players are going to be able to thrive in. Because they just have a vibe to it, right? You can just be killing it in one league, and then you go to another. It's like any of your talents, they need to be able to go. Like, one of the things I always tell comics is, like, you know, stop doing shows in the city you're from, go out and see how it works. works elsewhere, because it helps you grow as a comedian and as an artist. And the same thing is true. Learn how people play in different countries. You know, I'm sure
it's like Chris Boyd and Kilmarnock.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure Harry
Kane scored 25 goals. Yeah.
I'm sure Harry Kane is doing great in Germany. Let's see how he does in Uruguay. Like, it's just a completely, you know, different thing.
Leg broken.
That's leg broken. That's it. You know, cut to Gareth Southgate. God damn it. One quick thing, just as you're to riff on the Billy Connolly, John Lennon joke. I heard one of the funniest jokes this week. All you need is love, said four millionaires. Yes. Imagine there's no wealth. Throw the guy in a mansion. Okay, good. Yes.
God. Yeah, I don't even want to do that. I don't want to talk about Rangers. They're on break. Fuck that.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Fuck them.
Yes. Screw you. Screw you, others Rangers podcasts. Yeah. Yes.
You know, to sum it up at the end of it, if, you know, we can cut through the 5 minutes of chat that we were going to have, but it, just fuck the sun, right? There you go.
What, the celestial the body?
No, right. Not soul.
Soul.
No.
Why? What? Okay, just, I have not been paying attention. What did the sun do?
I just, you know, do you really need the specifics are going to open the door. Do you want, I mean, we don't want to do that.
Okay. You David, know
I mean, yeah, I think we can all agree with that sentiment. It. Just fuck the sun, right?
That's not that hard. Just fuck Scottish newspapers in general.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
They really they really hate me, don't they? I mean, it's actually really.
Well, they're not great friends with you, no.
They really fucking hate me, but they're all too scared to. Like, I've noticed
shouldn't they be writing the "Can you believe what this guy said 10 years ago" thing? And then, you know, people like me and you are like, yeah, because you know, it's still readily available. You can go ahead and listen to it.
The reason, no, they can't do that anymore, because the last time they tried that, I landed them on their arse. So
exactly. You are their Tay Tay. You do not come after David Edgar, right?
This is why whenever they write things now, they use it euphemistically. It's like fan media or a former partner, all this stuff, right? They won't name us because they don't want us turning around on them. But I loved last week that the reason they were all upset was we had a story that was perfectly true that they didn't. And it was like, guys, you can shout at me for it, but it was sort of your job, and I did it better than you did. So, you know, don't blame me for that. I did get some, I told this to our listeners in the Daily Update yesterday, I got some wonderful abusive emails from Celtic supporters, and I've never understood I've never understood why Celtic supporters think I care. I mean, really.
See, it's always the thing on Twitter, like, when it's like, why are you listening to this?
How many grammar and spelling mistakes did you need to wade through to decipher them? Carrie Dale Rosetta Stone.
Gaelic.
Me I was stupid and deluded, but rather pissed on his point by misspelling deluded.
Deluded.
And it was like, I'd love to actually, because I just ignore them, obviously, but I'd love one time to just sit with one of them and say, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think I'm going to say... Oh,
you're right.
I got to pack this in.
That's it. I'm wrapping up the website tomorrow. In fact, I don't even think I'll follow Rangers anymore.
Just putting podcast equipment into boxes. Yeah, and Sally knocks on the door. What's happening? A Celtic fan emailed me, and he's absolutely right.
I'm going to Paul McBride this website. Right?
I thought we'd been doing quite well, but apparently, according to Fuckwit 1888 here.
Fuckwit spelled with two H's, by the way.
Right, exactly. Fuckwit.
It's like, what do you think is going to happen? And also, here's the thing, right? Abuse from, and Shane, you'll be able to back me up on this, because abuse from a Celtic fan. I am trying to annoy you. I don't want you to like me. If you like me, I'd be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So,
for forgiveness from you lot.
No. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. They're going to come at you at Twitter. You're going to reply. And right then, that becomes chum in the water for the Phantom. And then that account is closed.
Yeah. Well, I don't even, to be honest, I don't even bother replying because.
Well, see, the ones that get through the mute fucking wall, then I'm like, oh, okay. Somehow I got to add you to the list. All right.
Right, right.
Yeah, they just say instant block, move on. And as Shane says, very rarely do I ever see it. It's generally only if someone I follow replies to them.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, who the fuck is
it? No thanks, not interested, and move on. And it's also like, you know, mate, I really don't understand. No offense, but, and this is going to sound awful, and I do apologize, but it's like, when I'm being insulted by people who, I own jumpers that cost more than their entire annual microwave pizza budget, and who have no teeth and support Celtic, and they think I'm going to be annoyed by them slagging me off. It's like, guys, this is a wee bit like me walking up to, you know, Lorenzo Amoruso and saying, hey, what, you think you've got nice hair, do you? just some things you're not in a
You know, it's the one where they, you know, like, what are they always like? Ibrox looks like a prison or a mental institution or whatever. It's like your stadium looks like a late area Soviet power plant.
Yeah, like, exactly.
No, it's the absolute fucking spitting image of the post office. They opened a lot of post offices in the UK, and they were all built, you know, the same way in the 90s. And it's exactly the same. It must have been the same building company that did it. Have you guys heard about the biggest miscarriage of justice in British history?
What is this? I saw people holding up signs about post. What is going on? What is this?
It shows you, though, that the power to make people care of something that art can still do this. But basically, I read Private Eye. I subscribe to Private Eye and have done for years. So I've been.
They're watching you.
Maybe, yeah. They've had this story for years and been putting on. But basically, in the late 90s, the post office, it's a very powerful public organization. They went private and then went public again. They went private and then went public again. You know, various things. And now they're a sort of halfway house. But they have a lot of power. They did that thing, but they also have the power to bring private prosecutions.
Right. Yes.
So they did that thing that Shane absolutely loves, where you are employed by
the mind races.
You're not actually, if you're a sub postmaster, they basically give you all the terms and conditions, but you don't work for them and you don't get health benefits and you don't get all of that stuff, paid holiday and whatnot. Right. So sub postmasters are called, right? And you buy a business and you know, in the post, you should make money on it. It's like a franchise, right?
Sure.
So they put in this new IT system for banking, and it was a big, huge, you know, public contract. I think about $12 billion. It was eventually taken over by Fujitsu, and people started noticing, these sub postmasters started noticing mistakes in their books all of a sudden, and basically, part of your contract with the post office is you have to make good any unexplained losses.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's like a Witherspoon's contract, basically.
Yeah. So So people were noticing, and it would be maybe like £1,000, but then they would go and check and it would be £8,000. And they're like, hang on. And they would call up the post office, and the post office say, but the computer says it, so that's that. Basically, it was like a dystopian sort of Kafkaesque nightmare. Right. People started to basically have to mortgage their houses and stuff to put this money in, because if they didn't, the post office, if they couldn't pay, the post office issued a prosecution against them. Mm-hmm. And hundreds of people, and I do mean hundreds over a 20-year period, were sent to prison. Several committed suicide. Jailed for theft. As I say, literally hundreds. Every single person was told, there are no other, by the post office and by Fujitsu, there are no problems with the software. It cannot be that. And expert testimony said,
That always checks out. You know, it's like a scroll through the Rolodex.
Exactly. But they were also told nobody else had the same problem. And the post office reclaimed the money by forcing people to sell their businesses and sell their houses. And as I say, there's at least 4 recorded suicides of people who had been accused wrongly by the post office of theft. So this story has been known, and there were MPs who, you know, I know we slag MPs and deserve so, but they really did, you know, push this. And it was a story that, as I say, people sort of knew vaguely about. But then ITV did a 4-part drama about it, And it's brilliant. It's really, really well done. But this one guy, this Crusader, now he never really stopped because he got out early. He realized he had, before he'd retired to his post office, he had been in IT, you know, quite high. So he knew.
This is like a television series, like an act, like an acting.
It's acting, right?
Okay.
There had been.
So the postman always thinks twice.
It's called Mr. Bates versus the Post Office because it's this guy, Alan Bates, who just he knew and he kept going. And because this drama went out and was watched by millions of people, and if you like, humanized this story, the public reaction here is utter revulsion. So they even now, though, when this is all known and this is the accepted truth, people still haven't been cleared. People still have.
It's the problem with having a, you know, it's just like we go through this all the time over here where people are known to be innocent, but like, well, we've got to go through all the steps. Well, no, just let them out of jail. Yeah. Like, yeah. You don't, yeah. It's the problem with having a criminal justice system and that it seeks justice at the cost of everything else, regardless of what the truth is or what it can do to destroy people's lives.
It's worth it just for, first of all, it sounds like a riveting story, but you get Toby Jones in it. So that's great.
He is brilliant. And they're now talking about some of the best stuff that's come out of it is firstly, the government who do have the power, incidentally, to intervene, are drawing up legislation for blanket acquittals, because the post office, even though they've been caught doing this, are still challenging the appeals.
Yes, of course.
They're still doing that. Now the police finally have got involved and went, hang on a minute, if you had faulty software, which you knew about and you did, and you were claiming this money back, which you knew was,
sounds like they committed theft.
That's fraud. And you are going to get investigated. And thankfully, the bastards from Fujitsu, the expert witnesses, these evil cunts who turned up in courts and said, no, 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 software, absolutely fantastic, no errors, couldn't be that, and sent people to... And I mean, these, we're not talking people who were, you know, otherwise criminal. We're talking like middle-class little, you know, schoolmaster types who were sent to jail. So it's going to cost a fuckload of money. But you'll love this, Shane. See, in 2019, this was all known, right? 2019, the head of the post office during this was awarded a CBE in the New Year's Honours list for her services to the post office.
Right. See, this is where I'm actually going to lean on Shane a bit. David, you and your country have this all wrong. Because if I know anything about my near to recent American history, the words disgruntled post office worker. would have taken care of this in
the original mass shooters, friends.
Yes, exactly. They were the pioneers. They were the ones that just couldn't,
They are the Grandmaster Flashes.
They would have been within their rights.
It's like a jungle sometimes.
But it shows you that the power of, you know, good TV, good filmmaking can still make a difference when you highlight something that maybe people think, well, I can't
see, but the problem with this always is, wow, we actually got to a serious point here. The problem with all this, of course, is that the people in the seats of power never face consequences for themselves. Just like one of many, many, many thousands of cases, right? Again, because when you build a criminal justice system and you have to seek justice, not any kind of fair outcome, retribution, anything. So like Harry Connick Jr., famously a very good singer, Harry Connick Sr. Was the prosecutor, you know, the DA in New Orleans for a number of years, sent tons of people to fucking prison by hiding evidence, falsifying evidence, you know, fucking all this other stuff. People who were later exonerated, some who were on death row, which, my God, you know, you spend years of your life waiting to die for something that you know you didn't do. You know, dozens and dozens and dozens of cases like this. Nothing, you know, eventually these people are exonerated and let go after maybe a dozen years in jail, 30 years in jail, in prison, right? I mean, just like 30 years in prison for something that you didn't, like living that life and what it does to you as a fucking person for something you didn't do. Oh, and this motherfucker, at the end of it, nothing ever happens to these people. Nothing. None of these people end up in fucking prison themselves. Yeah. No. Right? They never, you know, what the government might pay out a fine or something like that. No, well, we can't actually prosecute them because they were trying to do their jobs. You know, yeah. It's like, no. They were not trying to do their jobs.
They knew.
Yes.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's absolutely true. There's no desire to do it. The only time a rich person will go to jail as if
they fuck other rich people.
If they've stolen from it. Bernie Madoff.
Step forward, Donald Trump.
Yes.
Bernie Madoff went to jail because he ripped off a lot of rich people and rich.
Yes. Yeah. It was not all the 75-year-old grandparents in Myrtle Beach that gave their retirement. It was the billionaires that he went. Yes. Yeah.
That was it. Okay, so, but if you've only fucked over ordinary people, then you're not going to jail for it.
It's like, you know, it's the thing with Trump now, right? You know, and all the shit with him. Like the reason that nothing, it's because he's done all this shit through Deutsche Bank, who just kind of is used to all this. Like they're a money laundering sieve. This is what they do. They don't really give a fuck what you do with the money, how you made the money, where, you know, anything
else. Place
at all,
it in that pile matter. Over there that with all the other papers. Yes.
I will say, though, you know, fair play to Colorado, you know, trying to hold people accountable, which of course won't happen, was taking him off the ballot because, you know, it's Republicans have this tenuous grasp of the Civil War at best of times, as we keep seeing over and over and over again. But,
Kaylee.
One of the Civil War amendments, you know, had this little clause in there about you can't seek public office in this country if you tried to, you know, or took part in an insurrection against the United States government. Colorado looked at that and went, oh, that guy kind of applies to him. And, of course, now it's at the Supreme Court, which means, no, they're not going to do it. But, if you actually read the amendments and what people, it's like, God, the Civil War amendments just blow me. You know, of course, we've got the due process and equal right, everything else. But some of these, like, well, it was only meant to apply to people from the Civil War. No, that's literally not. You know, for all this originalist textualism and stuff that these fuckers do, it's like, read the it's like, did you try to start an insurrection against the nation? Yes.
Yes.
You're out. That's it.
Yeah. It's like picking and choosing your favorite sections of the Bible. Like that's it's their approach to any old document. Here's the bit I like. Well, what about really, this? No.
Well, where does it say kill all the gays? Right. Yeah. I missed that one. In there.
But then you have to be fair. If you're gonna do this, right? If you're gonna try and overturn the government, you sort of have to go the whole way. That's my opinion on it, right? Because I will have at least a grudge.
I mean, Hitler fucked it up once and came back the second time and it worked, the historical lessons are not, well, we caught them finally. No, you didn't. You didn't before, you know, 30 million people died.
You either go the whole way, and this might be influenced by the fact that I'm reading Watchmen again, funnily enough.
Oh, good.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I read it at least once a year. And of course, it is like properly, you know, dark and dystopian. But, you know, that's what Nixon probably would have done when he ended up in, you know, basically permanently the president. But he got caught fannying about, and that's what fucked him. But you have to admire his determination to do. Oh, fucking Sally the other night, right? So there she comes through. She's like, I've read this great book. Jesus. And I was like, I'm not interested.
Poor fucking woman.
Oh.
But no, but I've read this great book. Somebody gave me it for Christmas. I said, what type of book is it? And she said, well, it's fiction. I said, you know, I don't read fiction, right? I read non-fiction. I like history books. I am a middle-aged man. That's piss off, basically, right?
Again, the war was 45 years ago.
And the war was exactly, the war was 45 years ago, and I'm looking forward to Italian 90 this summer. Shane, how do you think John Hark's and the boys are going to get on? But it'll be a good...
Shane, you want to tell him?
He believes. He agrees with me. He thinks exactly the fucking same.
It's the best World Cup ever. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
And she had the fucking audacity to say to me, she went, do you not think you know enough about Richard Nixon by this point? And no. I have never been more offended in my life. So I went through and I sat her down on the chair, and that was because she's got bronchitis. She can't get back up. So that was
a courtesy moment. Well done, David. You let her rest.
I did. I took her through and I said, I actually didn't like that. I said, come on, you need to sit down. And I sat her down and I said, right, are you comfortable? And she said, yes. And I said, right, here's where we're going to start with the following. And she received a 15-minute lecture on Richard Nixon, in which, Shane, I think I'd got up to 1862. By the time, like,
and you complain podcast. About DC backstories.
All I'm saying is like, you, Shane, it was when Shane and I were doing Watergate, and I think we were at episode 8 and went, we're not even at the fucking break yet. Right.
Jesus.
We tell a thorough story around these parts, my boy.
Woof.
See, now, there's something today that is breaking the canon of Crowpod, because, again, the war was 45 years ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yet, somehow, it's someone's 80th birthday today. Do either of you know who it is?
No. Let me get right now. Let me think, right? 45 years since the war, 80th birthday.
80th birthday.
That would be 1944, this person.
Yes. January 9th, 1944.
Yeah, I don't know.
The most important musician of the 20th century, Jimmy Page. Stun silence. There we go.
Yeah.
I've been waiting. I want to make this case, right? Because I just thought about this morning, right?
Jimmy, because
like, I don't talk about my music on here because I don't want to listen to Dave bitch about fucking Queen or something. And you guys both have your dumbass bands. That you
Here we go.
I should have queued up the West Wing music.
I would just like to thank Neil Buchanan for sending a pic of him in an energy dome. Man, I love you.
I just got a vision of Homer walking into the store right now, Shane, saying, here are some of your no-name bands.
It's a case I tried to make before. I've never, you know, because, like, take his studio work, right? At this point, where at his peak, you know, there's some, like, top 40 records coming out of the UK. Some people think he was on upwards of 50% of them for over 18 months. Like, that's, you know, he was playing with the Kinks, the Who, fucking everybody, everything, right? And then, you know, the little stint with the Yardbirds, important. Of course, building by hand, the big, we're not going to get an argument about greatest band in the world, but certainly for a 5 or 6 year stretch, the biggest band in the fucking world.
Oh, I wouldn't argue with that. Yeah.
And perhaps most importantly, and this is my whole case, you know, on top of the songwriting and the fucking everything that Led Zeppelin did, without Jimmy Page, you don't have, like, Taylor Swift, because he's the one who went, fuck you, when he went back to Atlantic and said, you know what, I'm going to pay to produce this record, right? This is all going to be me. You guys are going to get a completed, finished record from me, but I get all the rights to my music indefinitely. And correct. You guys get nothing off of it. And without him and Peter Grant, musicians would not be fucking billionaires
and
without him.
Concert promoters.
Him and Peter Grant changed everything in music. Until then, I like the Beatles were still suing their, you know, the Stones were in lawsuits. They were all fucking broke all the goddamn time. And Jimmy, after being in the studio, you know, the fucking meat grinder, that was the London studio business at the time, went, you know what, if I ever actually make it, fuck that, I'm keeping everything for myself. And he did.
Not to go down the route of a certain professional football club not a million miles away from the one we support, but there is one thing here, Shane.
Yeah, okay, David. You know, look,
don't appear to be
again, yeah, but we could do this with goddamn near every fucking musician from that era.
Sadly, true. And
maybe we should. That's my point.
Not today.
How come Gary Glitter is a pariah and Jimmy Page isn't? And Pete Townsend was not writing a book. Now, I love The Who, but come to fuck. Right.
Again, David, it's the whole, we've talked about this all the time. You have to suspend your own beliefs and morals and everything to be able to enjoy much of cinema, television,
world.
Right. Because if you really held yourself to it, yes, I would not. I would not. But I just want to listen to a fucking record.
I'm gonna go off on a different direction. Dylan, the Beatles, you know, Sinatra, other 20th century people.
Can you guys go back to slagging K-pop so at least I got a dog in this fight? Jesus.
Todd, what mid-90s band that broke like the top 20 in the, you know, the Calgary Hot 100 chart would you like to bring into the mix here? That's my big question.
The 90s were actually quite good. That was when Radiohead kind of came into my existence, and I was like, ooh, this is fun. There was some grungy, crunchy stuff I enjoyed. I enjoyed Offspring for what it was.
Good band. Very
you
good
know,
band.
Green Day's Dookie.
Dookie.
Came out.
If it came out in 1994, chances are it was a very good record.
Yeah, no, it's true. That was a good year for music. I had just moved to Toronto, and so I was listening to CFNY quite a bit, and so that's where I was grabbing an awful lot of my music and going to a lot of shows. That's where I'm sure you guys don't know this band, Stoom. You ever come across them?
No, I don't
know that one. They had one album in them. They were from Ireland, and they were opening for, this is the band I went to see, Ruby. Do you remember Ruby? Scottish lead singer. Their big song was Tiny Meat. Mm. Look it up. As soon as you go, you'll hear the first three bars and you'll just go, yeah. Okay. Stoom was one of these bands where like I walked in and I'm like, okay, fine. They're already playing when I got there. And the first song I heard is like, okay, fine. And the second song, you know, ears up, tails up, going, what's going on here? And by the third, I'm like, where's the merch table? And they didn't bring anything with them. They didn't have albums or anything like that, which totally sucked. And I finally found their album in a used bin in Chicago. Yeah. And it's a fantastic album.
I love stuff like that. That was, you know, just the best. And we've spoken about this in our old man clouds matter, but you know,
yes, exactly.
But there was something really special.
I think I just did that for everybody.
I'm gonna talk about one of the Zeppelin guys.
I'm gonna talk. I just haven't really got Zeppelin because they're so fucking boring. And I think a big part of musically, you know, all the stuff you said about their importance is absolutely correct, right? I would point out that, you know, type of band that 75,000 people in Mississippi want to go and see should automatically be disqualified.
It was Tampa, you fucking prick.
I just find it's all a little bit, you know. So, but then, like, one of my very favorite bands of all time, possibly favorite, are The Hold Steady. And that band, one of the best bits about it is the creative tension between the two main musicians, the lead guitarist, who fucking loves Zeppelin and has appeared on stage with one of those, you know, those guitars that are like double guitars, you know.
I have a picture of myself with one, right?
Yeah, right. Well, Tad the guitar, he loves Zeppelin and would like all their songs sound like Zeppelin. And the keyboard player and plays various instruments is very sort of punk, very sort of alt rock, and he fucking hates Zeppelin. And the creative tension between the two of them leads to a good band. So I don't doubt they're influential. It's just any time they come on, the songs all last 15 minutes. They're all about wizards. The same fucking riff. Then this cunt, his name? Robert Plant. He starts squealing, and you're just like, for fuck's sake, is somebody going to put that out of their misery? So also, here's a fact, Shane, and this is an absolute fact. The greatest use of a John Bonham drum track wasn't by them. It was by Ice-T.
Yeah.
Todd, back me up here.
I thought you were going to take the Beastie Boys.
But no, like, they were clearly a very important and influential band. And you're American. I don't expect you to pick up on subtleties. You know, you like your big...
I got two hammers. What needs fixing?
Fucking let's invade Iraq. Like, that's who you are as a nation, right? You like big fucking cheeseburgers and cars that take 300 oceans worth of petrol to travel a mile. That's what you are as a nation. Todd and I, wee bit subtler, wee bit more open to things, occasionally read a book that wasn't by Tom Clancy, those kind of things.
That list I sent you guys.
That was brilliant, actually. I'm a lying bastard because I fucking love you.
This is from it was WKQX in Chicago. It was the top. This is back when, you know, stations had to play records. And so they would put these lists out for their DJs you know, every single week, like, this is what's spinning, you know, and here's your cue to give away records and stuff like that. So some of the hits, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, the first album, Cheap Trick In Color, Styx, A Grand Illusion, Genesis, Seconds Out, Linda Ronstadt, Simple Dreams. You got Randy Newman doing Little Criminals in here. Like, some of these just drop in. The first Crosby, Stills, and Nash album, Draw the Line with Aerosmith, 10cc makes an appearance. Clapton's back from his coke binge. And
I went, okay, it's a list from Shane. Let's give it a shot. Right. I'll just open it up and take a look. And as soon as I saw number one, Steely Dan, I'm out. I'm done. No need to read further, Todd. Not good.
Oh, come on.
There's mad respect for a lot of that stuff. You wouldn't have the music today if it wasn't for a lot of stuff on that list. Absolutely. Do I own any single one of those things? Absolutely.
You don't have a copy of Chicago 11?
I don't believe that.
Chicago are one of my very favorite rock and roll stories because one of their original members died in tragic yet fucking hilarious circumstances. great tragedy for the family, for the band, for the fans of the band. But tell me if you don't find this funny. One night at a party, a 70s party, cocaine was flying about and loads of alcohol and there are groupies. And he was messing about with his gun. His wife told him to stop messing about with the gun. And he said, it's not loaded, pointed it at his head. It turned out that it was loaded and shot him. One in the chamber, dead. Now, that is, if you can't admire a band to take rock and roll excess to that level, one tip I'll give you all, I've been shouting their name there earlier. Martin and I have this competition to see who can find the most 80s sounding record, and it has to be a US one, right? Because you know the Rinky
We cornered the market on that.
I mean, right? It's got massive keyboards, big pumping, anthemic, right? You know what it has to be. Listen to the song, right? As soon as you're done with this show today, people, I want you all to go and listen to the song Satellite by the Hooters. Right.
Yes. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
How fucking magnificent! Right from the start, it starts with like a keyboard wash, and then you hear this kind of Europe, the Final Countdown keyboard come in and go dun 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 dun, and I was like, oh, I'm away here. Then that running up the hill drum comes in, and I'm like, right, the big amplified drums.
Yeah.
And at that point, you just think, I need no other music. This is fine.
I go back to last week's show. I will stand by this. Go watch and listen Animotion's Obsession. It is cocaine with a keytar. And to answer Shane's question about Chicago 11, my Chicago music begins and ends with the Chicago House Sound and Wax Trax Records. That is it.
I have a copy of the Blues Brothers soundtrack.
My Chicago music is Big Black. Steve Albini stuff. And I don't even know if I'm allowed to say the name of Steve Albini's other band. It's the word for coercive sex followed by the word man, which is a bad name for a superhero and not a name of a band that you can ask for in a record shop without being thrown.
Fuck, man. Come on.
Worse than that.
Was it worse than that?
Oh, it rhymes with gate.
Oh, got it. I had to hide my copy of Songs About Fucking in between the Great Ripoff by Monty Python because it was a double album, and I could slide it in there so my mom, when she was going through my tapes, wouldn't find it.
Funny enough, we were talking about this at New Year. My parents and my mom said, the only song of David's I didn't like, and I just loved the way she phrased it, she said, was that motherfucker song. I was like, why
which
not?
One is that?
She said, oh, I hate that word. And I said, you just used that. What? You just literally said it. You didn't dress it up. You just literally said, I hate that motherfucker song. Right. And we eventually narrowed it down. It was Fire, Water, Burn by the Bloodhound Gang.
Okay, yeah.
The roof is on fire.
On fire. We don't. Well, to be fair, she's right. It's shit.
It's pure ale, but it's genius because name me another song that's got the line in it. I'm not black like Barry White. No, I am white like Frank Black is. Right. Now, yeah. You have to admit, right? While that is puerile, it is clever. It's the same with our. It's the same. I admit to, even though it's stupid and puerile, I do admit to loving of the Bloodhound Gang because the song "My Dad Says That's for Pussies" contains the line, "This fair trade coffee tastes like gay." It might be time. it also contains a line, John Wayne would never use a surge defender.
Right.
Which I think we would all agree with. Now, yeah, it's stupid and it's offensive and it's meant to be offensive, but...
Speaking of people who don't react to things well at award shows. There.
Yeah. Poor Joe.
I could tie the whole episode back. Watch, I could take it all the way back to the start. Because Onion, Lloyd Austin fails to disclose he was buried at Arlington National Cemetery.
I think we should dedicate this show to Joe Coy today because he's going to be eating a bit of love.
Yeah, I completely agree.
My actual was a marriage counselor sides with hotter spouse.
Yep. Gorgeous.
I think that I'm looking forward to seeing their take on it, I must admit.
Yeah. I will go with the Redustrous first. Breaking, boyfriend thinks pull-up bar would look great in door frame. But from the Onion, and I just want to do this as a proper line read. Local news, father most present while encouraging children to knock it off!
I thought you might like this one. child unrealistically confident about how good a horse he would make.
Yes.
I saw that one this week and went, I bet you David Grather's that
I love
one.
That.
I'm leaving it for him.
I also like breaking news, Nation Strangers announce plans to stand near you.
Beautiful, yes.
Nation's aunts announce it must be nice not having to worry about money like the rest of us.
Exactly.
the greatest one for that, it was in the first Onion book I ever read, which came out about 1997, I think.
That's right.
It was y'all urge to go fuck yourselves. And the story read, local man John Smith announced from his window the other night that y'all invited to go fuck yourself. He said, you all be bullshit and your mama too. He said, represent, and it finished with, representatives for you all have refused to answer back to his go fuck your mother offer. That was me hooked.
Oh man.
Oh Jesus.
There was a good note. Well, you know, I think you can tell where this one's good because Wayne LaPierre, who's been the fuckwit piece of shit, horrible bastard human being in charge of the NRA for the past like 30 years. You all know him. If you've seen a news clip of 20 kids mowed down in their elementary school by a semi-automatic rifle that I can go to Walmart and buy right now.
Yeah.
As the guy that the NRA trots out to say, you know, now is not the time to talk about the gun reform.
Right. Exactly.
So he stepped down suddenly. He couldn't have anything to do with the fact that the NRA is, you know, under investigation for, again, you know, money laundering or taking money off of Russian, you know, like all that kind of stuff. A 21-gun salute to mass shootings. The Onion looks back at Wayne LaPierre's time at the NRA.
Okay.
Now, no guessing what the headlines are on all these.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on,
no way to prevent this.
You also just mentioned it there. You know, we spoke about it there. That we have this terrible, you know, miscarriage of justice and, you know, you could understand people, and they still don't over here. And one of the reasons has nothing to do with the fact that nobody has any guns.
Yes. Exactly. No, of course not.
And you would be a fool and a communist to think otherwise.
Still one of the greatest jokes of all time. You would be a traitor and a communist if you were. That's one thing I do miss from the 80s, right enough. You knew where you were, didn't you? You had us, you had the commies. But it was a simpler time.
Yeah, I mean, we were all, you knew what side you were on.
You knew at any given moment you could die in a you know, but it would be quick.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it would be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Very time. Flash-like. All right, that'll do it. Of course, David, you can find on everything Heart and Hand. Find him on Twitter at IbroxRocks. David, thank you. Please, please go rest up. Get more. Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping by next week. Me and you. See, but the thing is, me and you are going to be well. And then Todd is going to be
one that I'll be coughing up blood.
Yes.
Just before we go, I'll let I know why Todd's better than we are, because the other week Todd was saying a thing in our chat and he was raving about his wife's cooking, which is a nice thing to do. Yeah. And he said she made steaks, but the highlight was the creamed spinach.
Spinach.
Now, after the tumbleweed had rolled through the chat, Shane and I just both went, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. But I suspect the fact that he occasionally eats stuff like that might be one of the reasons.
I made a lovely good cream of cauliflower soup last night with dinner along with barbecue chicken legs and roast sweet potatoes.
I would have thought as an American going to a steakhouse where that's a standard side, Shane would be like, yeah, you Philistine, David. Yeah, cream fucking spinach. I'm wrong.
I am completely wrong.
And by the way, when you make it sound it's like, oh, cream spinach, that's going to be healthy. That is like saying, oh, look at this carrot. I think I'll wrap it in 3 pounds of bacon. That's healthy.
It depends on how they cook it. Like, if they cook it, you know, like fat, they're fine.
It's fat and fat.
It's like collard greens down south. Like, yes. Oh, greens, they're healthy. No, because there's a pound of Crisco for every 8 ounces of fucking greens.
Exactly. They're good.
I just wouldn't like the idea of taking spinach and going, do you know, could we make this slimier? I don't get that at all. No. But, you know, I many a restaurant I visit, they always put a little bit of green stuff to decorate the plate, which is very kind of them.
It's called a salad, David.
Yeah, I assume they just use it for everyone's plate in Scotland. Right, there you go. And then it comes back in, they clean the bit your steak was and chips were on, and then they fire it back and send it back out. And
one perpetual lettuce tomato onions coming back over.
It's maybe like those plastic flowers. It's just a part of the plate because they know nobody's ever going to even put their fork into it.
Can you deep fry lettuce? Let's find out.
Probably.
Yeah.
Todd, of course, you can find him on Twitter. Hey, it's TBA. Find all the stuff. Hey, it's TBA.com. What's coming up, Todd?
Well, we got the big shows coming up at the end of the month, starting January 30th, going through to February 4th at Absolute Comedy in Ottawa, and then Moose McGuire's on the 5th, which is the Monday. That's out in Orleans. I'll be at Yuck Yucks, I think, next week, the 17th, and that's Diageo's in Ottawa. Just go to HayesTVA.com/calendar. Oh, and I will have an announcement about an upcoming Write 'Em Up show in Ottawa. Stay tuned.
There you go. All of our I know, because like you have the Central Belt in Scotland. What do you guys call that thing there? They're like Toronto, Ottawa, and
it doesn't even go that way. So like it's around the other side of the lake. It's called the Golden Horseshoe. So it goes.
No, that's way too perverse for this show. Yeah, we're not going to have that conversation here. My God.
No, it's there's women no and showers children involved. Listening. It's, you know, it ends at Niagara Falls, which is a big shower. Okay, you're right.
Is that where you just piss on your own face?
So yes, into the wind. You know,
before we leave, can I just say to anyone listening, Todd is available for the Oscars if you don't have anyone yet.
Absolutely. Who books that? That is on my tombstone.
It'd be fucking hilarious if they were getting ready to announce Joe Coy today after the triumph of his. Right, what we'll do is he'll blow them all away, and then on the Monday we'll come right out and say, yeah, we've gone for the Oscars, and now they're going, is Billy Crystal still alive?
See, that's exactly we're going to get 2 or 3 years of Billy Crystal last fucking home, because, you know, they've got to just like recenter everything before
the Tom Ben Allen was surprised today to find out that he was the host of the Oscars.
That'd be great. There's a car outside and a guy's like, there's a tux in the back you can change, just get fucking.
All right, that'll do it. I think, we'll be back next week, just normal time. Everything's good. Weather permitting it. Yeah, the blizzard has commenced. And as I said, we have two blizzards this week. So I am not sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not looking. Well, and the one coming at the weekend is finally bringing the bitterly cold. I don't want to go outside kind of weather. So,
oh yeah, we're about to get well slammed.
Yeah, yeah, no, you are. Slammed. I can tell you right now because I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have fun in a day and a half, Todd.
Yeah, I'm supposed to do a show tonight. Don't think it's happening.
Yeah. All right, everybody be safe, be good. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
He can't even fucking serious at all.